celebrating this during the holidays and during Christmas. And I love that because I can identify with Joseph. Anybody? You know, just I'm just taking care of business and just doing all of this. And then here's that great story Mary had to tell of the visit of the angel. And that's what I want to think about. We've been talking about our journeys. You know, we've been in this series on our life as a journey. And we've been looking at the journeys of the wise men. Remember we talked as we looked at the journey of the wise men. And we asked, you know, are we wise enough to be watching? You know, are we wise enough to open our eyes and to see what God is doing? We talked about the shepherds and that life, sometimes there's fear and sometimes there's questions. And it's like, how does this in our lives? And we're all on this journey, and I was trying to learn some, you know, what can I do in my journey? What can I learn from the wise men? What can I learn from the shepherds? And this morning, I wondered, what can we learn from Mary and Joseph? What can we learn about journeying through life? Remember, my thought grew out of this vision I had, vision statement, this idea that we really want others to see Jesus in us and join us in this journey. That's one of my prayers. I want this church that they look at people, they see us, and there's something about us that they say, I want to be a part of what God is doing. I see something different in them. It kind of goes with that words above the door there. They will know we are his disciples by our love for one another. And we see those challenges. And so we're on this journey, and I like that picture there. Joseph is wrapped up in life. He's wrapped up in the busyness and wrapped up in preparing and planning for this great wedding and his dream he has for his wedding. And then Mary has this news she wants to share. And it's news that is going to be a little uncomfortable, because now all of a sudden those plans that, you know, I could see this young couple, because I, you know, as I watched that movie, just so you know, I thought back to Lauren myself. You know, Laura, that, you know, young girl, you know, 17 years old, we're talking about our marriage and our wedding, and, you know, and I just kind of reflect, and you have the dreams, and you have these pictures, and then I remember having to ask her dad, could I marry his daughter? Anybody been uncomfortable you sat there? You know, it's just kind of like, anybody get those uncomfortable? What I want to think about this morning is, you know, when you follow God, it's going to be uncomfortable. All right? That's going to be a challenge for us, because we want to live the comfortable life. We want a nice, smooth, easygoing life. Anybody want a trouble week this week? Anybody looking for trouble this week? Now, does anybody anticipate trouble this week? Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, but we don't want that. We want a comfortable, we want to just kind of go through life, but it doesn't work that way. And so as I looked at the story of Mary and Joseph, and here's what it says here, just kind of the beginning of their story, the story together. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, and all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinus was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with his wife, his betrothed, who was with child. You know, and I see this picture, and I, you know, this is kind of the beginning of their journey together. All right, and I kind of want to think about how uncomfortable that would be. You know, as I reflected on this story and looked over at Mary, and, you know, you go back to a day, she's relaxing, she's enjoying the day, and an angel shows up. How comfortable, let me ask you this, how comfortable would you be if an angel showed up in the middle of your day? You know, what would you be thinking? What would be going on with you? How uncomfortable would it be to have an angel show up to your day? You know, what would it be like for that? And I just kind of went on down through the story looking at how uncomfortable. You know, how uncomfortable would it be for the angel to tell something that you knew would cause trouble in your life? Mary, God has found favor and you're going to bear his son. You know, I'm not married, I've never had sex. How can this be? This doesn't make sense. How comfortable would it be to get news that would change your life? Anybody? You know? your dream, your vision, you know. And how many young girls dream of their wedding from the day, you know, 7, 8, 9, 12? Some of you young ladies can probably talk about that. You just dream of that day. Now all of a sudden it's turned upside down. How comfortable would that be? How comfortable would it be to think about Mary's got to go home and she's got to tell mom and dad, mom, dad, guess what? God came and talked to me and I'm pregnant. How comfortable would that conversation be for Mary? How comfortable would that conversation be for mom and dad? Then as that video displayed, I love that video. You know, how comfortable would it be to tell Joseph, guess what, Joseph? I got news for you. You've been with the table? You have a loved one sitting there? Guess what? We're going to have one! Surprise! And it's like, I had nothing to do with this one. You know, how comfortable would it be to have that conversation? And then you got, you know, Joseph. He hears, how comfortable would it be to hear the news? You know? Got a honeymoon all planned, got all this stuff worked out, and now you just messed everything up. How comfortable. Yeah. How comfortable would it be for him to have that angel come and talk to him? This angel shows up, and hey, guess what? Yeah, that's God. I just kind of went on down the story and just thinking, how comfortable was these days, weeks, and months in their lives? You know? They come together. How comfortable would it be to walk into town and to have everybody whispering behind your back? Do you think they probably were? You know, the neighbors? And then, as I went on through the story, how many ladies here would, you know, you're 8 and a half months, let's just go it that way, 8 and a half months pregnant, get on a donkey and ride 50 miles down the road. You ready? You know? Now, just so you know, when one of my brothers was born, my aunt took my mom in a car and drove into bumpy roads outside of Sacramento, just trying to make her get birth to one of my brothers. You know? But hey, we're going to ride the donkey to town. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, I'm 9 months pregnant. You think I want to get on that donkey? Yeah. Joseph, you're out of your mind. How comfortable. Not just the emotional comfort, but the physical discomfort. You know, saddle sores. You know, it's like, yeah. And then you get to town and there's no room. How comfortable. You know, oh, we don't have a place for you, but you can go out in the barn and deliver your baby out in the barn. Now, that sounds really hygienic. You know? And I just kept going to the story, you know, how comfortable, you know, to give birth, and all of a sudden these stinky shepherds show up with a story. You know? And then you go to church for the dedication. They go to the temple for the dedication. As they walk into the temple, some old man comes up and grabs the baby out of your arm saying, God told me this is the Son of God. This is the future. How comfortable would that be to have somebody snatch your baby out of your arms? You know, this old man. You know, now, just so you know, there's a woman there. I'm not saying she was old. She was elderly. You don't call women old. But there was an elderly woman. The same thing. God had saved me for this day. How comfortable to hear those stories. You go back and you're in a house now and you're relaxing and all of a sudden you get a knock on the door and these guys in these funny hats and all these clothes come walking in this garb and they're the wise men with gifts for you and telling a story. You know, how comfortable. You know? And so you're ready to go home and you're ready to go back to where all your family is up north, just 50 miles up north. You know, it's time to go home and an angel says, no, you can't go home. You can't go home. If you go home, they're going to try to kill your son. You got to go the other way. Matter of fact, not 50 miles home, 1,000 miles that way. You know? Yeah. I thought as I read this story, that you know, I really never put it in this terms of how comfortable must it have been? You know, for them, and for Mary and Joseph, it's just one thing after another. And just 9 months before that, they had these dreams. plan on a table, and they're getting everything ready for, we're going to have our house on this corner over here, and you know, I'm going to be this great carpenter, and I'll make a living for our family, and we'll, down the road, we'll have a couple of children. And they had all this dream, they had all this vision worked out. And then God steps in the middle of their life, in the middle of what was a comfortable life. And now it's uncomfortable. Let me ask you this morning, how many of us are comfortable today? How many of us are probably, let's be real, how many uncomfortable? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, maybe financially uncomfortable. Maybe health, something going on health-wise, and we're uncomfortable. Maybe a relationship that really during the holidays seems to make it very stressful and very heart-wrenching, and we're uncomfortable. How do we go through our journey that's uncomfortable? There's no such thing as everything going well. Now, I've had a statement here, and I preached a sermon a long time ago. There's no such thing as a good or a bad day. There's just another day. Because how do you measure a good or a bad day? I mean, you have a bunch of little good things going, and one big major thing go wrong, and how's that day? You know, or you can have a bunch of little good thing on, or whatever, and it just, you know, how do we go through? How did Mary and Joseph go through? That's what I want us to think about this morning. How do we deal with being uncomfortable? Because see, if we decide to do things God's way, just I want to make sure you understand, if you decide to do things God's way, you're going to be uncomfortable. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your particular life. You are not here by accident. You're not some dreamed up person. God has designed you, equipped you, and called you to be the particular person you are. And when you follow him, things change. It's different. You know, what would happen? I made some notes here. What would happen if God called me to change my health by changing the way I eat? You know, well, would it change the way, you know, when somebody brings a bag of cookies and you open the cookies already and they ate a cookie this morning? You know, would it change the way you walk into your office? There's bags of candy and there's kind of like a nut brittle in there with chocolate on top. You know, what do you do when God challenges you to change something? You know, that, I'm kind of laughing about it. But what about what happens if God changes, wants to challenge you to change your finances? Would it change your spending habits? You know, if God challenged you to, especially at Christmas time, how about to forgive somebody? How uncomfortable is it to forgive somebody? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, we go through life and we want a comfortable life, but what I want us to do and I want us to see, but the real joy and the real peace and the real life comes from being uncomfortable. I don't know what's going on with my mic. I'm going to move it more and see if that helps. It comes from being uncomfortable. I want to challenge you this morning. How do you go through life uncomfortable? You know, I look over my life and the journey Laura and I've had, and we were kind of sitting there, and I, you know, we've been married 40. I know I'm going real quick. I'm really quick here. Let's see, 76. It's 99 for 43 years, right? All right. You know, fortunately, she'll be probably counting right now too. You know, but I look over that journey. And, you know, just so you know, this morning I walk around, you know, I walk around, I pray for us this morning. Yeah, and I walk around praying for us this morning, and I was thanking God this morning for Laura. Because I couldn't and I wouldn't be where I am and who I am if it wasn't for Laura. You know, and some of you guys know that, yeah. But how comfortable has this journey been? How comfortable has the journey been? You know, you pack up, You know, you get married in June, you pack everything you have in September, and you drive down to a college campus to move in. You got $600, $1,000 in the bank. If I remember, it's $1,000 in the bank. You walk into your apartment room, and there's 3 inches of water in the bedroom. Fortunately, we had bought a hide-a-bed. We figured people were going to come down and visit us, so we slept on a hide the first 8 months as they fixed the roof, because it never rains in Southern California. Yeah. But how many of you could have a story of how uncomfortable life is when you follow God? To forgive somebody. To give something. To share something. We all have these stories. So how do we do it? How can we do it? So here's what I want to do. I'm going to look at kind of Mary and Joseph, and I put it this way. I'm going to call it daring faith. It doesn't faith. It takes a daring faith. Think about Mary. Now, most people, most of the theologians, everything, you're talking Mary somewhere 14, 15, 16 years old. That's what they're saying. Dreaming of a marriage, and now you're pregnant. You got to go home and tell mom and dad. You got to go tell Joseph, and things are just all upside down. How do you do that? Because said that, you know what Mary said? The angel says, you found favor with God. You're going to have a baby. What do you think? She goes, okay, God, if that's what you want. How many of us, God, let me go home and pray about it. Right? You know, God, let me think about this for a minute. Let me go talk to the preacher. Well, let me give you a little hint. If you come to me and say, I think God's leading me this way, I'm going to say, is God leading you this? Then you go. All right? Yeah. How do we deal with that? And so here I got daring faith. So just three quick things on daring faith, and then we'll develop how do we move past that. So the first one, if you got your little outline out, it goes like this. God is looking for faithful people. Mary and Joseph were faithful. God stepped in the middle of their lives and turned everything upside down, switched everything around. There's their plans. Everything was laid out. All of a sudden, it's different. And what did Mary say? Yes. What did Joseph say? Yes. God is looking for faithful people. People who are loyal. People who keep their words. People who keep their commitment. People who are sold out. How much would it take? Think about that. For Mary to say yes to carry the child of God. Here's what it says. The Lord searches all the earth for people who have given themselves completely to him. He wants to make them strong. 2 Chronicles 16:9. See, God is looking for people who are faithful. So I'm going to just ask, are you one God is looking for? Yeah. Do we... You know, God, I'll follow you as long as... See, one of the questions, and Laura and I still laugh about it, because I know if God led one way, we would have gone. But when I surrendered the ministry and Laura and I were getting married, Laura had these words, I'll go anywhere God takes you, except I won't go to Texas. All right? That's Laura. If you know Laura, she hates country and music, okay? You know, that's just not her style. But you know the honest truth is, if God took us to Texas, Laura would have went. Because I went to Willits, California, and that's where they set me aside as a pastor and do some fancy things called ordination. And Laura's pastor that she had grown up with since she was 6 years old comes up there, and he preaches to me. He'd been my pastor about the last 4 years. And he asked Laura, would you go anywhere Gary goes? And Laura goes, I came to Willits, didn't I? Are we willing to follow God as long as God's plans are in line with ours? I'm faithful, God, as long as you're going my way. Think about that. You know, God, I'm on board as long as we're on this boat going this way. Let's go, God. One of my prayers for me is I've always prayed this, God, don't let my plans, and bring them up to God and say, bless my plans, Lord. I don't want that. That's something I worried about as a pastor. that, you know, God, I got all these great ideas. I mean, we're going to have a message pretty soon, and on first Sunday in January, 2020 vision, we're going to talk about our church and our journey, and that's, you know, it's like I had this vision when I came. I wanted 1,000 people here. It's 36 years later, and I don't have 1,000 people. Wow. Anybody? What do you do when, you know, we want the comfortable life, you know? God, I'm partly in, somewhat in. I'll be there most of the time, you know? God, just don't ask me. See, God wants people who are in. Now, you know, as I thought about this, I can, you know, I'm just going to ask, are you in? You know, are you dabbling? Playing? You know, are you in? You know, as long as it's convenient, I'll be really mean right now. God, if I don't have anything to do on Christmas Eve, I'll come to church at 5. I'm being mean, all right? Yeah. If you don't have anything to do, do come. If you do have something to do, change your plans. Have a great time. I mean, don't you want to come and sing some Christmas carols for your family of God? You know, just we're just going to have a good time. Plus, guess you get a little treat. We've already got some cookies coming. Yeah. You know? But see, we want to dabble with God. And here's what I want to tell you. If you're going to dabble with God, you're not going to get much of a blessing. God can't bless the little. The more you give, the more you get blessed. And I just want to encourage us. You know, God, I'm in. God is looking for faithful people. So are you faithful? When it works for me, when I feel like it, are you faithful? The second one is really, I struggle with this one because I think this can be, I'm going, I don't want to be mean. Faithful people are hard to find. Is that true? How many of you have some faithful people in your life? Don't raise your hand. But I mean, people you can really count on. Somebody you know that no matter what happens, they'll be there for you. Thick, thin, no matter what. No. Faithful people are hard to find. Yeah, I wondered, did somebody miss a blessing that Mary picked up on? You know, how many people did God have an opportunity to pick? You know, I wondered that. I mean, as I was writing, I'm going, you know, think of the thousands of ladies that God could pick from, and he picked Mary. Why? She was faithful. That's it. You know, she's from some backwater town called Nazareth. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. Ask the Jews. That's what they would tell you. And yet God picked Mary, not because she was rich or had wealth, because you look at the offering they brought for the child that was born. They brought the cheap offering. You know, they didn't bring the lamb. They brought the cheap offering for their firstborn child. It wasn't wealth. It's hard to find those who you can really count. How many of us have some friends that you know you can really, really count on? You know what I'm saying? See, it's hard to find those friends. It's hard to be with those friends. But we can be that friend. That's my point. Here's what it says. Everyone talks about how loyal and faithful is, but just try to find someone who really is. Isn't that kind of offensive? You know? But we need to be faithful, and they're hard to find. We need to be true. You know, some people can talk the good talk but don't walk it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know? Let me get down to this part. Don't raise your hand again. Has anybody ever been stabbed in the back by a friend? You know, do you know what I'm saying? And here he's saying it's hard to find. You know? God, I'm in, But then when my finances get messed up, God, it's your fault, right? Yeah. God, I'm in, but now I got some health issues, God, and I don't know why you're doing this to me. God, I'm in, but I have these questions, I have these doubts, and you're not. God, I've been here 36 years, and where's the 1,000 people? Anybody feel like failure? You wrestle with this. It's hard to find those, God, I don't care what happens. One of the statements I'm going to share on that message in January, I'll share right now. When we were in our portable building, we were portable, tore our building down and all of this. The one statement I kept going, this is still true for me. I don't know a lot of things. But the one thing I know is God's going that way, and that's the way I'm going. That's it. That's what Mary and Joseph did, right? God says, hey, you got to go down to Bethlehem. Okay, let's go to Bethlehem. Hey, you got to go to Egypt. I want to go home. No, you got to go to Egypt. I want to go home. No, you got to go to Egypt. God, I want to do. Anybody here argue with God besides me? God, I want. See, faithful people are hard to find. Mary and Joseph, they laid it all on the line. I mean, over and over and over again. I could just see it. We got to go to Bethlehem. I'm pregnant. I don't know. Get on the donkey. Let's go. There's no house. Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, honey, I'm sorry. You got a barn. Hey, let's go home now, man. Everything's calm. It's boring. Let's go home. No. Yeah, we got to go to Egypt. I want to go that way. No, anybody? See, Mary and Joseph, man, they were some of the hard people to find. Are you one of the hard ones to find? See, I want to challenge us. Are we one of the hard ones to find? Because when you are, this is what happens. Look at the last point on this section. Okay, not the last point of the message. You're not getting out that early. Faithfulness is the key to blessings and victory. Who wants to be blessed? Anybody want to be blessed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, we got about half of you want to be blessed. Okay. Okay. Well, that's okay with me because that leaves leftovers I get. All right? So if you miss yours, I'll pick them up. All right? If you want to be blessed, you're going to have to be faithful. You can't dabble with God and expect God to do great things. Does that make sense? You can't just kind of mess around and I'll be on the fringe and I'll just kind of get a little bit. I'm going to be honest. With God, you're either in or you are out. And I want God's blessing. I don't want part of God's blessing. I don't want a few of God's blessing. I'm going to be honest with you. I want everything God's got for me. All right? I want all of it. One of the stories I used to tell, and I used to think about when you die in heaven, you walk in, God's showing you around your mansion. And he's showing you around, he opens the door, and in that room is just stacked from the floor to the ceilings with gifts. Just floor to the ceiling with just gifts. And you look at old St. Peter, I shouldn't say old St. Peter, but you look at St. Peter, and you go, what in the world is that? And he goes, those are gifts you never asked for. I don't want to miss, but to get that, I look over my life, and even those trials, even those struggles have been a blessing. Even in those times when it's not working, we wanted to see our son one Christmas, and he, between going to Iraq, he had went to Iraq and fought the war when the war first started. He got home for about 9 months, almost 12 months, and he had to go back. He's living back in January, so my wife and I want to fly back. Laura could still fly then. So we're trying to work all the details out. So we work it out. We're going to fly before Christmas. We'll see him for 3 or 4 days. Christmas Eve morning, we're going to get on the airplane, and we're going to fly back home. And we'll be back up in Sacramento to visit with our kid, with the other two kids, and my mom and dad, and Laura's mom and dad, and we'll just have Christmas Eve together. So we'll get both Christmases. Our son back in North Carolina and the ones out here. So we get back there, and we're getting ready to fly out that morning at 6 in the morning. We'll be back in Sacramento by 12 o'clock that day. Back over to our parents' house by 1, just having a great day, and our flight's canceled. wait a minute. You know? Our flight's canceled. You know, the weather. Now, this is bad, but the bad up north. And so his flight was delayed out of north to Raleigh, North Carolina, was delayed. So they didn't get in till late. They got to get 8 hours sleep. So our weather was good. But their weather was bad, so I got messed up. God, you ain't fair. You had it all worked out, God. But God blessed, because I got to fly first class. I took a bump. We bump on the airplane. I'm going to tell you, when we got on this airplane flying first class, we sat down and seats are bigger. You know? And the lady walks by and says, you guys want something to eat or drink? And it's like, no. You know, she goes by and she comes back. She goes, it's all included in first class. Yeah, I want something to eat. Real plates, real silverware. You know? Anybody get blessed when things are bad? You know? We didn't make it home. Just so you know, we didn't get home till midnight, all right? We missed Christmas Eve with our kids and our parents that year. But God blessed. You know, and I look at that, you know, not because, well, I'm Gary, but you know, God, I know this has messed up your life, but I think God gave us something. I do. See, I believe God blesses us. And so, you know, we need to see this. Look at what it says here. A faithful person will have many blessings. Just so you know, I consider myself so blessed. I get up in the morning during the week, and I walk. I walk across the street, see my grandson, talk to some of the teachers, walk out the front door of their school, walk in the front door, and I'm at work. Man, that's a hard commute. You know, sometimes there's cars going down Covert. We got to stand there and wait. You know? How many, you know what? I'm just so blessed. And yet, there's other things that go wrong. Where are you, God? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, you're blessed over here and you're frustrated over there. I'm just going to stay with God. See, God blesses those who are faithful. But just so you know, I'm not always faithful. Because Gary's got some bright ideas. And if you've been with this church for a while, you've seen some bright ideas that flame out pretty quick. But God does. See, God's looking for faithful people. He's searching for them. And they're hard to find. But when you walk with the faith that God blesses, and there's victory. But I want you to know something. This faith that you have is not blind. I'm going to hit these last 3 points real quick. You know, because a lot of times we feel this Christian faith is a blind faith. See, I want you to know, I'm not asking you to accept a blind faith. I'm not asking you to believe something that's invisible, that you can't see, that you never experience, that you don't know. See, I really believe faith in Jesus Christ, faith in God is a visible faith, not a blind faith. Because we all have stories of what God has done. If I was to ask anyone here to stand up that's been around God and served God and been a part of what God is doing, any of us could stand up and say, I know a story of what God did in my life. See, we all have stories. It's not an invisible faith that we can take the promises God has in his Bible. See, these are historical documents. This is history. It really happened, and we can see those, and we can know it's true. You know, as I thought about an invisible faith or blind faith, I thought there might be two people who had blind faith, but I'm not sure if their faith was blind. It would be Adam and Eve, because there's nobody's story before them. They are the beginning of the story. And yet they were there with God. And I don't think it's blind when God's sitting there saying, hey, I'm talking with you. I'm going to go hide. No, you know. It's not a blind faith. We have stories. We have the history of stories. And that's what Mary and Joseph had. They had the history. I'm just going to read some passages here. A story that I know Mary and Joseph had heard, they shared. It was the story of the Exodus from Egypt. It was the story of how Moses led Israel through the wilderness and brought them to the shores of the Jordan River. It was a story how Joshua took over and led them across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. They had the stories. It wasn't a blind faith that, I just don't know if God, I don't understand God. that when God spoke to Mary, it was not a blind faith that Mary said, I don't understand, I'm just going to go. Mary had seen the hand of God. And I want you to know, I think we are so blessed today because we have history. And we have 2,000 years of history of all that Jesus has done for 2,000 years. Not just what God did before, but what God has done since. To say, it's not a blind faith. So here's what I put down real quick. I had this little note here. I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart, so I won't sin my bankrupt. I'm saying memorize the promises of God. Because you're going to have some bad times in life. Let's hit these promises. God promises to give you strength. Mary and Joseph needed strength. You're going to have to go to Bethlehem. You have to deal with all the people that are around there gossiping. You're going to have to deal with fleeing to Egypt. Herod wants to kill your son. You're going to have to flee. And Mary and Joseph needed strength. He told Joshua, and here's the story that Mary and Joseph knew. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you nor abandoning you. See, they knew that God was going to be with them. When God called them out and when God said, I'm going to bless you and you're going to give birth to my son, they knew the story of all that God had done, and God had brought the promised land and gave them the land, and he had been faithful to them. He'd be faithful. He'd be faithful to them. They were going to have the strength. We don't all have unlimited strength. We don't have unlimited power. We don't have unlimited knowledge. We don't have unlimited wisdom, but we have a God that does. And he strengthens us. In our journey, he strengthens us. Listen, you know my favorite verse, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. See, Mary and Joseph knew the story of Joshua. Blind faith, just, well, I don't understand, and they knew. The next one I put down here, God promises to give you success. When you do things God's ways, guess what? You get success. When you follow God's plan. Now I want to make sure you understand this. You don't get success with your plans. You get success with God's plans. I look over my life, a dumb kid barely graduates high school, has got a doctorate. Explain that to me. Explain when a teacher looks at you in an English class and says, you got a B in this class, I don't know how you got the B, the spelling the way you spell. I can tell you how I got the B. God blinded your eyes to my spelling mistakes. I don't know. I don't get it. That when you do things God's way, there's success. And what God does. And how God moves. Look, only be strong and very courageous, he tells Joshua. Faithfully doing everything in the teachings that I, my servant Moses, commanded you. Don't turn away from them. Then you will succeed wherever you go. Anybody here want success? Boy, nobody wants. I do. Okay. I want success. Just so you know, I've never given up, and I haven't given up my dream of 1,000 people being in here. Just so you know, I tell you this. I've had over 300 people in here a couple of times, all right? For funerals. Yeah. We've had Easter services. We rented a school. We had 400 people. Yeah. God's not done. Yeah. And I don't know what God is doing. We're going to talk more about that. We'll have a good time on that. But God does it. Remember the Lord in all you do, and he will give you success. Remember the Lord in all you do. Any success? Be faithful. Be faithful. The last one I put here, God promises to support you. God promises to support you. Whatever you need, wherever you're at, God's going to support you. God's work done God's way gets God's support. God's work done God's way gets God's support. The other day, I was going through some boxes. I looked at our, you know, working on that sermon that I'm going to preach coming up. And that finance campaign we did to build this building and all that God did there. And I'm going through that stuff. And I just go like this. I'm going, I'm older now. I couldn't do that now. I don't have the energy. I don't have the strength. And I'm looking at that stuff going, where did I get that idea? I don't have that wisdom to do that again. I don't even know where that idea came from. You know? But I see God. God does those things. He's going to support us. Here's what it says. Remember that I come to you to be strong and brave. Don't be afraid, because the Lord your God will be with you everywhere you go. He's going to support you. Emotional support, financial support, strength, wisdom. For me, a lot of times, it's just encouragement. Anybody need encouragement? I'm okay. You know, I'm not making $1 million. I don't have a lot. But you know what, God, I feel real good. But I'm down. Anybody else? Holiday depression? You know? See, God wants to support us emotionally, physically, spiritually. God wants to support us. And look at what it says. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Whatever you need to do it his way. See, we live in America, all right? And we think success in life is a big house, a nice car, and a great pension, right? Isn't that success? Big house, nice car, and a great pension. I'm going to have a great life. Yesterday, or this last week, I got a chance to read to a bunch of third graders over at the school. The teachers asked me, and I got a chance. I read the book called The Polar Express. And after I got done reading the book, the kids were talking to me about all sorts of things. I'm the pastor. One of the questions is, I'm the pastor of the church. They pastor of the church over here. Do I own the church? No, I don't. All the people that go there own the church. I don't want the headache. You know? But we were talking about Christmas, and do you believe in Santa Claus? And I told them, I believe in Santa Claus. And we had the conversation. One of the little boys goes, I want a Lamborghini. You know, and another little boy said he wanted a Corvette, you know, and they start popping off with that. And so I said, well, okay, wait a minute. Let me give you a little hint here about the best thing for Christmas. And I'm sitting there with these kids, and this is about success, okay, because this is what I'm talking about. What's the best thing for Christmas? What's the best thing? I said, for me, you know what I want for Christmas? You know the best thing for me for Christmas? Is my family. You know, I got kids up in Washington that aren't going to be able to be with me for Christmas. I'll visit them on FaceTime. Anybody going to FaceTime? I'll visit on FaceTime. You know, I got a son and some grandkids in North Carolina. But I got some kids here, and we're going to get together, and we're going to enjoy Christmas. I said, you know, the best thing about Christmas is two things, or three maybe. Family, friends, people, okay? That's one. Family and friends, getting together with family and friends, and food. I said, that's the best thing about Christmas. I said, that's what I want for Christmas. And after I said that, you know what the kids started saying? Oh, I want my sister to come out and visit us. I want us to have a Christmas and nobody fight. And I'm hearing these kids say these things. And then the next day I walk onto campus. One of the little boys walks up to me and he goes, I want my family together for Christmas. You know, I was talking with my grandson, one of his friends that I had read to. See, what's success? Is it the big house and the nice car and the great pension and we're financially here? Is that really success? Or is it the people? See, Mary and Joseph gave us the Son of Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus. And he says the two most important things in life is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy soul. And the second is, love thy neighbor as thyself. So I want to challenge you to be faithful. To be faithful. God's seeking it. Don't make it hard for him to find it. And he'll bless you. Maybe not like the world, but he'll bless you with what's important. A life on a journey that he's honored. Isn't that what we really want? Jesus, this way, I have come so you may have life and have it abundance. That's what I want for you this Christmas. Walk by faith. It's not a blind faith. Walk by faith and see the God. Tell your story of what God has done in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths, that you are a God who sent your Son to die on the cross for us, to give us eternal life. It's not a life of the future, Lord, a life that just measured by length, but a life of fulfillment, a life of joy and peace. Thank you for people like Mary and Joseph who were faithful, who laid it all on the line that we can have the Son of God. You know, as your heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you're here this morning and your journey's been a little rough, you know, and it just hasn't gone well. And maybe you need some strength that God's promised. Maybe you need some support that God's promised. Maybe you need some success. And you want me to pray for you. Just shoot your hand up and say, pray for me that I'll be the faithful one that God can bless. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of these. They're not hard to find, Lord. They're sitting in your presence. They're in our midst today. They are your faithful ones. Lord, I ask you to open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings upon them. I ask you to touch their hearts and their lives, Lord. Bless their journeys, Lord. Not that they're journeying their way, but they're doing it your way. Honor them, strengthen them, support them. Give them the abundance of success that you have. Not in the abundance of money or big houses or nice cars, but in the love of Jesus Christ that they can share with you in return and with those that are around them. Bless their families, bless their friends. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's positive of our service with an invitation. Invitation is real simple. I'm just going to stand here. I'm here to pray with you. I don't know what God is stirring in your heart, but I want to give you an opportunity to God. Now, I say this every week, you know, and that by faith, and it's not a blind faith, but, you know, what a Christian is. A Christian isn't someone, well, you know what, God, I'm going to follow you, and I shook the preacher's hand, or I was baptized as a baby, or I'm working hard at being that person. A Christian is someone, and you hear me say this all the time, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come on to my life and take control. God, I want to journey with you. I ask you to pray that prayer. If you're not, just pray it right where you're at. Maybe that's a prayer you want to pray. But this is your time. This is your opportunity. And we'll give you the opportunity to respond. Will you be faithful as the year starts? Will you be faithful? Let's stand and sing this song. And you come as the Spirit leads. Would you please?